April 19, 2023, it's the Waffle Pedro Show. Wap for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Got that motherfucker. You know, it's going to be 22 years next month, and I'm still blowing clams at this. Start off the show with John Coltrane, Johnny Hodges, Rabbit. This is a younger John Coltrane, live 1954, doing Castle Rock. And then we had Mystic Elevator doing On the Hill. And because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got with me Jack and Abigail of Mystic Elevator. Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Hello.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Absolute. And we got to give credit right away to Randolph for the connect. And you guys had a big blowout, right? The Difficult Music Festival or whatever, about a couple of months ago. I played a bunch. I had him and Graham on. And I just had on J.P. Lemke, who was also part of that. So who wants to go first? Because I want to explore first your individual journeys through music and then as a unit.
I can go first.
Okay. Jack, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Yeah, I think my earliest musical recollection was my parents used to put on these videos, Baby Mozart, they were called. And I don't, it's like a very vague memory, but weirdly a formative one of listening to Mozart. I don't even know how old I was, maybe like 1.5, 2 years old, with these weirdly trippy sort of psychedelic collage visuals of baby toys. And I don't know exactly how it's influenced me, but it's like, you know, there's something aesthetically about that. I like Mozart actually not very much, but just the weird creepy visuals. I don't know. I think it's still with me in some kind of way.
Yeah, of course. You know, even, you know, negative things, right? Right? Things that bear on you. They bear, like weather, right? It could be fucking sunny. It could be raining.
Mm-hmm.
Too much sun, though. You need some rain. Too much rain, you need some sun. Yeah, something. Knock it off, Watt. Look, in this pad you grew up, Jack, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, there weren't actually. My parents didn't play music, but it was fourth grade. I got my first instrument, and I played saxophone.
Well, I was going to the next one was to ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah, I was in the school band in fourth grade. We got to choose our instruments, and I chose saxophone because
Can I ask alto?
Yes, alto.
Yeah, that because for a young man, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was really small. I'm still pretty small, and my hands were too small to like fit around the saxophone, and they really didn't want me to play.
Yeah,
but I wanted to play because I really like Lisa Simpson.
Oh, that's right. You know what? Ain't that town supposedly modeled after Springfield or something up there in Oregon?
Yeah, I think they figured out that it's the Oregon one.
Yeah, because the Springfield's all over the country. Okay, so let me ask you: first record you bought with your own money, please, Jack.
My first record that I bought with my own money, I think it actually, I do remember what it was. It was Cannonball Adderley, something
Whoa.
Else.
Alto player.
I know.
From Florida.
Yeah.
His brother was a musician too. He could wail, man. And you could tell John Coltrane was listening while playing next to him in Miles Davis's band. It's a trip. And in a way, I think John Coltrane rubbed off a little bit on Cannonball.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah, beautiful, sure. though. You were just a boy when you got that.
I think I was like 10 or I think
yeah.
I was 6th grade.
So no peer pressure. You know, usually I got people saying Def Leppard and shit like that. Iron
yeah.
Maiden. Okay. And they're all embarrassed, right? But that's a bitch. And what about the first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw? Oh, man. I think actually, you know what? I think it was my parents took me to see the B-52s when I was in elementary school, and I remember I fucking hated it, which is really funny because I like the B-52s now. I flip-flopped. I liked Mozart as a kid, and now I don't like Mozart, but
yeah.
I didn't like B-52s as a kid, and now I like them now.
It changes, right. Was this the one with Sarah Lee on bass?
I can't remember.
Okay,
I can't
remember. Because the original one, they didn't even have a bass, right?
Yeah.
They had the one of the singer's brother playing guitar, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I remember getting that first 45. It's, remember spinning pie plates on sticks? That's what's on the cover. And I think the other side is 52 girls or something. It's like they rattle off 52 girls' names. It's very bizarre, yeah. But Rock Lobster is bizarre, too. I mean, you know, girls with surfboards, you know.
Yeah.
Here comes the bikini whale, right? That's the fucking money shot right there. Mm-hmm. So, at school, was it marching band or was it like the recital band?
Yeah, it was like a recital band, like a concert band.
So you didn't have to wear the monkey suit and shit.
Okay. No, I didn't have to wear the monkey suit. I did marching band in high school, but we also, they were lucky. I was lucky we didn't have to wear any costume. I would have hated it.
Our guys, because we were San Pedro High School pirates, so they had to dress like fucking pirates.
That's good. With patches?
Yeah, the whole shit, you know, headband thing and... Didn't get have to get amputated in peg legs, but per year, you know. So, okay, you know the, well, how long do you stay on the sax?
I stay on the sax probably until I graduate college.
Are you taking college classes with saxophone?
Yeah, so I didn't really study saxophone in college as like my major. But I was just playing in the big band for fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of a big, there's a bunch of cats, right? It was a big band. Okay. So there's a sax section.
Yeah, sax section.
Right. Which you ain't going to find in a symphony because the timbre's fucked or something.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Because I asked this because I didn't hear a lot of saxophone in the Mystic Elevator. So at some point, you go to other instruments? Well, let me ask you this first. When you were still in high school and shit, did you do the school band, after school band, like the basement band, garage band, bedroom band?
Yeah, I used to play in, I played in the jazz combo. That was my basement band. We would rehearse in my friend's basement. We'd play gigs when we could, and I would also play saxophone and like some people's like pop and funk bands.
So unlike the fucking Tom Scott, like 70s police show background music, right? Theme song.
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, later on the guy had a, John Sanborn, he had a fucking, Sonics were on it, Sonic Youth. Yeah, that little real clip kind of alto style funky thing. Yeah, that was very cool. Kind of Maceo Parker.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. I actually switched to tenor at that point.
Okay.
So I started alto. Then
like John Coltrane, alto to tenor. Okay.
Yeah, I liked Coltrane more than I liked Parker.
I think it was, because he was in him, but Eddie Cleanhead Vincent said, "Nah, I'm already playing alto. Why don't you try tenor?" Yeah. But then he makes the jump way upstairs with the soprano. Did you ever get into that?
No, I never. I think I stuck with tenor from high school, and I stuck with tenor onwards.
And what'd you end up doing? Did you graduate college?
I did graduate college.
And what was the degree? I'm just curious.
I double majored in music, and I also got a degree in environmental policy.
Oh, great. So, music, but not performance on the saxophone. What, like, more like composition and shit?
Yeah, it was more of like a general music degree, but I focused on composition.
Yeah, because I've had people tell me when that general music, they want you to become a music teacher.
Totally.
Oh, you agree? Okay.
Yeah.
And like for cats who are like my drummer friend Larry, man, I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be a performer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, kind of a dilemma, right? Yeah.
Totally, yeah. And
so what do you do after school, music-wise?
Yeah, I mean, after school, I take a year off, and I work at a small music organization. But I'm still writing music for, like, chamber groups. And that's like a lot of what I'm doing. And then I go to grad school at CalArts.
Over here. Yeah. By Magic Mountain.
Yeah. Right by Magic Mountain. Exactly.
It's on the way to Grapevine from Pedro. But yeah. Shit, you gave me this, you know what? This is Abigail. So maybe a good introduction for her. Like, While We March, number one, introduction. Let's play it. Yeah.
With the welfare white, stuffing in on the strip, strapping in, tearing surface to tip. We've all wobbled one last time. Your canine and your feline, roll it off the window sill. For all I know, it's rolling still. We will wobble one last time. Your canine and your feline, roll it off the window sill. For all I know, it's rolling still.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off that chunk of music. Abigail Whitman with Why We March, number one, introduction. Then the Chunks, Black Market Blues. This has got Puppet Midnight, Senor Midnight on the bass. Senor Midnight of Scotland, people. I fucked up and said England before. Now, this band's from England, Position Normal. Knock off Sprite from the Whoosh Shop. I have no idea what's a Whoosh Shop. Feedback Virus / Testing the Human. And this is an edit. Stick Sellers featuring Tom Smith. We lost Brother Tom Smith. I got to do a collaboration for the cancer fucking... I mean, we're talking weeks, people. You know, fucking Heidegger was a Nazi. But he did say we should spend more time in graveyard. I mean, yeah, we're all running on the clock. And we just... I think to keep from going crazy, maybe. But we got to keep pushing because we never know when the cord gets yanked. Anyway... Beautiful guy. We're going to come out. The lady, Vanessa, from Pylon did a spiel for it. So it's Vaguely Noble is the name of the project. Darts, brand new Jella's label. He's got these ladies. Bring It Back. And then finally, Jack Hershowitz with A Place Without Language or Streets. Yeah, I wish. Mr. Wittgenstein dilemma, right? So, Abigail, your turn now. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Yes. So I think I have maybe two. I don't know which one was earlier, so I guess I'll tell you both. One is, so my mom sings in a church choir, and so when I was a little kid, they used to have Saturday morning rehearsals, and I would sleep underneath her chair, or sometimes just like quietly goof off and, you know, play with my toys and everything. So, but I'd curl up underneath there and listen to the music.
Yeah,
while
still soaking it up, right?
Singing, or, you know, a little kid, couldn't be left home alone, so I had to come along. So, yeah. And then the
what
the
do you
other
call
one
that?
That
I think here in Pedro, we would call it Econo Child Care.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that is what I... Having two working parents, you, as a kid, you grow up going, all right, I have to tag along, and I've got to be quiet, otherwise I will be in trouble.
Yeah, right. And what was the other one? You said it's a toss-up. There's another recollection.
Yeah. So the other recollection I have is my parents would play this one CD for us called Baby Dance. And it was a bunch of different classical pieces. And there was one song, and I never knew what the song was till college, but it was Saber Dance. And so I just used to think that was the best song for jumping on the couch and jumping around the living room. And I thought it was so much fun. So I think from the earliest age, I always viewed music as something that was supposed to be fun and enjoyable and a good experience, so which I think is held through throughout the years.
For that, I ain't going to use that R word, but for choir practice, there was a piano. Your mom was she running it, playing a piano company?
No, she was a singer. So okay. She just does that for volunteer, and she still does it too.
Okay.
Actually,
okay.
So
because I'm wondering, was there instruments in the pad?
There was a piano.
Did you go through the experience? You know, I've had people on the show. They almost got driven away from music because of the piano lesson experience.
Yeah. So no, this was just a volunteer choir at the church.
No, but did you have to go through the piano lesson experience?
I did, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay, great. No, I want to hear
piano
that.
Piano was my first instrument.
Okay. And so, how old?
I think I was 8 when I started.
Okay. No Mozart, but on your way.
No, yeah. So, but it was so much fun. I remember really enjoying the piano, and I would become obsessed with these, like, songs that I would get in little practice books, and I would pretend that my desk at school was a piano, and I would practice at school when I got bored of whatever they were trying to teach us.
Yeah.
I would drive my classmates crazy because I kept on tapping on the desk.
Because a lot of cats I have on the show, they got bored of their fucking piano lessons. Now, you know what I mean? You know, if you're going to get...
I get it.
That's a great antidote. What about... first record you bought with your own money, please.
I never had a record player, so it would have to
I shouldn't say. I'm 65 years old, okay? Any kind of medium, any, you know, cassette or MP3, whatever the fuck.
I think the first, this is probably going to be embarrassing for me, but the first soundtrack that I bought was the one for the movie Tangled, because I was super into Disney movies, and so that came out when I was a kid, and I loved the soundtrack and ended up buying the soundtrack. Okay.
And then first gig you saw?
That's tricky. So I actually grew up in Torrance, so right next to San Pedro.
Lomita is in between.
Lomita specifically is where I grew up.
Lomas, PCH, right, Sheriffs.
Yeah, exactly. So right around that area, and my parents would always take me to the Hermosa Beach Street Fair, and we'd always stop to watch the bands when they'd play. So I don't know what bands were playing.
But it was there. Yeah. Okay.
It was there. It was.
It wasn't at the Fisherman Fiesta in Pedro, though, but it was in fucking Hermosa Beach. Okay. We know what side you chose. No. You know, there's little rivalries here in the South Bay and stuff. I know.
But, you know, when you're a kid, you just go where your parents
are. Yeah, of course. And that shit is counterproductive anyway. So, you know, it's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. So, yeah, you went and saw some gigs at a fucking street fair. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, the fair I don't dig is in Torrance. It got some kind of military parade. That's bullshit.
I don't think I've ever been to that one.
Good. It's not fucking Red Square, May Day, right?
Yeah. Okay,
so let me ask you this. Were you in the school choir or the school marching band or concert band?
Yeah, I was in school choir. I did the choir.
Now, everybody knows about Torrance, right? There's South Torrance. There's Torrance.
I was in Palo Verdes.
Oh, okay. On the hill.
So I was one of the lucky kids that got to go up there.
We say the hill people, right?
So we had a chorus in my elementary school that was for 3rd through 5th, and I did that, and then choir in middle school and all through high school. So pretty much third grade and on.
Did you do the thing, not after school graduating, but, you know, in the afternoon, bedroom band, garage band, basement band?
So I was more of a classical musician. So I did voice lessons and piano lessons. And there was an after school choir that I would do. And that one doing high school. And then by the time I joined high school, I got recruited into my mom's church choir. So,
but no casual shit with people your own age.
Not much.
No. I mean, that's the way it goes. I wasn't there. So you got to use words when I get this mind reading thing going, fuck that.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about like the Palos Verdes area, it's really academic. And so I was always, never an outcast for doing music, but the idea that like I wanted to do music instead of something science or math related, most of the kids my age were like, well, I want to be a doctor when I grow up. And I was over here like, I want to sing. We're going to do that. And so there weren't a lot of, most after school activities were things like debate team or after school STEM programs or, different things like that. And so, the most show-related thing I did was comedy sports, which was acting and not
sports. Big.
Comedy sports. It was an acting improvisation group.
Yeah, school. You know, when I went back, I gave a talk at where I went to junior high, Dotson, right? That's kind of on the hill. They got rid of all the shop classes, all the lockers. Shit changes. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 19, 2023 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Special guests, Jack and Abigail, a mystic elevator. Hold tight for hour two. April 19, 2023. It's the second hour of Watt from Pedro's show. Thank you.
about that.
Backing up.
Live from Pedro Show. We start off the second hour. How about Gail Whitman? Why we march three. Hombres Necios. Okay. Adele Mead with interlude number two. I thought appropriate. Jack Hershowitz with Call Me When You Get Home. Okay, so how you guys meet?
Yeah, we both went to CalArts. We're both doing our master's there. And I had like, so my background was as a composer, but I had started, doing like improv with my laptop music, where I was like, building these like sort of instruments, in the software called Max MSP and trying to play with people. And I thought Abigail had a really good voice and I asked her to play with me. We played outside for like three people on like a guitar amp, to amplify my sound. And then we've just kept playing together since.
Yeah.
And what was the incident that brought you two together besides the school? I mean, there was more than just you two going. Hey, by the way, did you take any lessons from the trumpet man, Leo Smith, Wadato?
Yeah, we didn't. Wadato, Leo Smith has, I think, retired from CalArts.
Okay, so okay.
He was gone before we got there.
Because Motoka Honda, she's been on the show and, like, she saved music for her because, you know, she was going down the classical road and it was bumming her out. You know, everybody's got different trips and stuff. But I'm curious, what's the incident that brought you and Abigail together besides just being on the same campus?
Just a lot of, we had a lot of mutual friends.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we used to, there was like a free improv group that we were both a part of that would meet on Sundays.
Yeah, it was like, there's an improvisation class there that I had taken, and one of the other people in the class, was just kind of like, hey, you know, Sunday afternoons, anyone who's around, let's just go improvise somewhere on campus. Cause it's quieter, we can find like, and so we'd find different spots that weren't that busy on a Sunday afternoon, and then we just improvised. And it was whoever showed up that day went, and so Jack showed up every once in a while with his saxophone, and I came and sometimes would sing and sometimes would just bring, like, random things that I could make noises with.
Let me get this straight.
Kind of I thought each other.
I thought he said this first gig was him on laptop through guitar amp.
That was our first gig as the two of us.
This
was
okay.
Just a free-for-all, anyone who wanted to show up. And so the two of us kind of knew of each other but hadn't really had an actual conversation until I think he walked up to me in the school cafe one day just out of the blue and was like, hey, I think you have a good voice. Do you want to, like, improvise together? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Pick a time, pick a date, you know, let me know. I'll be there. And
that was the gig. And would you consider that first gig a success?
Yeah.
Great. I mean, they didn't throw shit. No, I've had tons of shit thrown at me. Those were successes too, I guess.
You know what? The three people.
I mean, I'm talking literal shit. I've had people shit in sacks and throw it at me. Well,
yeah.
Us. I don't. Maybe it was Watt in particular, but and vomit and used rubbers. I've had. I'll tell you what hurts, batteries, especially the D ones. Fuck. So, okay. After that, after you broke the water with that first gig, do you guys start, what, composing together and performing more?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just like, play together. We do a lot of, like, improvised music where we don't really actually make any decisions beforehand, and we just sort of get together in the room, and we just play for however long we feel the session needs to go. But out of those, sometimes pieces emerge. So it's like somewhere between improv and composition at the end of the day.
And yeah. How do you know what to play? Well, Abigail, you're going to sing, right? Or play little toys?
Yeah. In general, I sing. We sometimes, Jack will start with, like, when we're doing a sound check.
Yeah.
He'll sometimes grab something from that or something that he just has in his archives. Sometimes I'll start make a sound, and he picks stuff from my sound and goes from there.
That's always been the interesting thing for me about this idea of improvised music. Who goes first?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's almost like a political thing. Like who's holding the colonies or something? You know, who's the wish granter or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh man, you gave me this music here. This is live from the EDME festival. Maybe it was the one that was. Yeah, that was the first one right back in October. Okay, let's listen.
All right, we're Mystic Elevator. We're gonna do two short pieces for you tonight, and thank you all for coming out tonight. Ooh. Thank you. Again, we're Mystic Elevator, and thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Mystic Elevator live at the EDME Festival. Then we had Tragic Assembly out of North Carolina with Man Damage. Head Boggle, Happy Trails. That's East Bay, Oaktown. Mystic Elevator, finally another live thing, live in Wickham Canyon. So you guys were in an actual canyon outside?
Yeah.
Yep. We took our gear up to a canyon that's up near Cal Arts. Wickham Canyon is the name of it. And we just went for a hike. And then we stopped when we got to a spot that had enough room to kind of set up a little laptop and microphone and everything. And then we just improvised for the birds and whoever else happened to walk by.
Well, it used to be pretty open, but they're building track homes like motherfuckers now. They're up there.
Yeah,
it's that shit. Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
It really does, because, well, I ain't going to get into it. I want to stay too close to your music. So, and was there people? Did you? It was just for you guys, or was there an audience?
Just for us.
Yeah, I love that. And What are the kind of reactions when you guys are doing your gigs?
I feel like we haven't been, like, we've never played at, like, a bar or anything where, like, I feel like we play for people who are, for the most part, are interested in improvised music.
Yeah.
So, generally, very positive. No used condoms. Yeah, but that's how we know we've made it once that happens.
the democracy in action, right? The people that get their vote. Actually, I thought it was the first time I was in Vienna, and the power all went off. And when it came on, I saw all these things stuck to me. I was like, you know, some motherfucker must have worked at this. So I shouldn't take it for granted here. Now, we were discussing off air this. Kind of point of contention with improvised music. Who goes first? How do you guys negotiate that?
I think during rehearsal, we try and we'll sometimes pick, or sometimes we'll talk about that. And we do try and figure out or talk about, like, alternating between us starting. I think to make it more natural to be comfortable with either of us starting, so that when we do get to a show, it kind of just becomes, I don't know, in the nicest way possible, sometimes the most impatient person is the person who goes first. Sometimes depending on the venue, like there's absolutely some venue setups where I can't see Jack, because the way we have to be is all stand kind of like right next to and a little forward so that I'm not standing on cables.
Yeah.
In those situations, I'm more likely to let Jack go first because I don't want to start without knowing he's ready.
Can I ask something about these performances? Is there a visual component?
There's not a specific visual component. It's really just the two of us standing next to each other.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like screens and media and shit like that.
No, we don't have any visual media.
Yeah, okay. Of course, you guys are visual components yourself, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Totally.
Of course. So sometimes what you're saying is you're kind of flying blind. You can't make eye contact. Man, that's such a hard thing to do music as an ensemble with no eye contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Dudes do it on purpose, right? They're so fucking macho. You know, remember Georgie one time told me, I got to hold your hand, too? And then I could start playing with I helped the Porno for Pyro guys out for a couple tours. And these guys had just come back from Bali where they dance with their eyeballs, you know. These dudes were all about eye contact. It was a trip. It was a trip. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 19, 2023 edition, Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Jack and Abigail, Mystic Elevator. Hold tight for hour three! April 19, 2023, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
no, 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 no.
Keep ducking. I'm gonna go get a little bit of 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 Paradise, 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 pa What are you doing here? This is my head, not yours.
For Pedro show, start off the third hour, Mystic Elevator, again live at ESP night. And then we had Jeb Bishop and Damon Smith doing photo op. And finally, Mystic Elevator, again live at Malaga Cove. There's a casino called that. I remember opening up for the Chili Peppers there.
Yeah.
That itself is the Malaga Cove up in Palos Verdes.
Oh, that one. Okay, I'm thinking of Las Vegas some shit, or maybe I got the names fucked up. But I know what you're talking about on the hill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a gig once. Shit, maybe it was the school up there, you know, where that mall and all that stuff. But I saw Louis Belson, the guy who invented the double kick drum. It was a jazz festival. This is early 80s. Yeah. So. What was ESP night?
ESP night? That was just something at school, actually. That's all that was.
What, CalArts?
Yeah, it was a CalArts concert.
Okay. Okay. What did you take away from CalArts that you think really is, like, resonating with you still?
Well, I graduated, so I think the collaboration. And also, I think the idea of not saying no to things and keeping an open mind with them, that was what I really appreciated the most about my time at CalArts, was nobody ever really told me, no, you shouldn't do something. The most they ever said was, okay, then how are you going to do it? And I think that's a really great response to making music that I hadn't felt in previous years throughout music making, and this idea that, you know, that's how music changes, is we say yes and how do we build on it? How do we expand from that? And so that's kind of the best thing about CalArts, in my opinion, is they're good at just saying yes to things.
Right, because in a way, you're still asking the question, like a John Cage thing, right? What is music?
Yeah,
I like that. What about you, Jack?
Yeah, for me, I mean, that's where I learned how to, like, I mean, I learned how to improvise from jazz beforehand, but I learned how to, like, improvise, like, with sort of real no, less of a structure. I don't really believe in free improv, because I don't think that's really a thing, but I think freer improv is a thing. And I learned how to do that at CalArts. And I learned how to play with people who had like different musical backgrounds than me, who were way better at music than me, but I could still hang. And that was really valuable. And also, I don't know, it's just a place where there's like, I'm making, you know, my noisy chamber music and noisy improvised music. And then there's people in punk bands. And then there's people playing, you know, Renaissance music, and that's a pretty cool environment to be in, because I think it makes you a lot way more open.
And maybe fights that bullshit genre shit, right? Music is music. Look, you brought up something about there's no pure improvisation in your opinion. So with Mystic Elevator, is there any kind of scores, maybe graphic? Maybe not every note, you know, but are there like launch pads, diving boards?
I think the launch pads are conversations that we have like in like sound check or like after a show, and like we just are like, yeah, I liked when you did that, let's do that again, and then all of a sudden it becomes a piece. Or we like say before a show, it's like, let's do a softer, like overtone based one, and then that becomes the piece. But we don't really do graphic scores, because we feel like, I don't know, for me at least, I feel like conversations is like enough for me to like get a sense of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, Extreme is probably fucking click track going through earbuds or some shit.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Can you believe pulling that kind of shift? Fuck. Look, you gave me this big piece here. And this is credited just to Jack Hershowitz. Live at CenArt. I guess it's a acronym, right? Let's listen. Plot for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Big piece from Jack Hershowitz. Live at CenArt. Describe the sitch there, Jack.
Yeah, that's actually the National Arts Center in Mexico City.
Jeffa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I think Federal District. Yeah, or Federal District or something.
Yeah,
I got to play a Stooges gig there. Amazing city. Man, is it big.
Yeah, it's fucking huge. I was there for like 5 or 6 days, and I didn't get to see nearly
all
enough.
The different neighborhoods. We were staying in the Polish neighborhood, and you know, I really enjoyed it, even with a festival put on by Corona. You know,
it was still bitching to go there.
It was still bitching really to go there. Okay, so you had a thing like this. So something like this, and you were man alone, right? Abigail wasn't there.
No, Abigail wasn't there. I was with my my friend Ana Luisa Diaz de Cosio, who's a violinist, free improviser, and so we both did some solos and duos there.
Okay. And was it same kind of MO where like you have a conversation before the fucking whole enchilada sets off? Yeah.
Okay. Same thing.
Okay. Man, it's. So you're in the moment, right? Responding. Yeah.
You have to really listen to what the other person is doing, and like, you know, it's like important to be an individual and to like have your own sound, I think. But at the same time, you do have to let ego go, because you have to do what you have to do to make the group sound good more than you have to make you sound good. And I think even in like duo improv, that's like really important. So you got to be listening always to what the other person's doing while you're listening to yourself.
What about this idea that maybe object of an ensemble is to try to create an interesting conversation?
Yeah, I think that is something that we've absolutely talked about. And for me, improvising with Jack and also with other people, that is always my goal, is to create some sort of conversation and have that be at least audible to the audience in some way. I think good improvisations, when you're watching it, you can tell that there is connection between the musicians.
In the moment as it's happening. Yeah. You know what? Here's a trip. Almost all the stuff he gave me was live. Do you guys record in studios?
Not yet.
But we're working on it.
Yeah.
You know, we're working on an album.
Really?
Yes.
Now, it's much different sitch than a fucking gig, right? Live performance. Yeah. So is there editing involved?
Yeah. There's editing, but we're still trying to keep it like improvised pieces that then we like go back and pick the best, the ones that we like the most, and then sort of curate a little bit. But we're still trying to keep it like as much of like a live situation as possible.
So like all killer, no filler, like those Miles on the Corner.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a except we're not as good as Miles.
In your own way, y'all.
Yeah.
If you ask me, Miles, I mean, I love his trumpet too, but he knew how to pick dudes to play with. That was his big talent. He knew the good. You know, a lot of guys, or not a lot, but some people, I'll look good if I have a bunch of lame guys around. He's like, no, I want the best dudes playing with me.
I feel like with any sort of improvised music, like that's like such an important, that's like the most important part about it is like,
you were talking about at school, at Cal Arts, all these guys you said that were better.
Yeah.
That made you come up. I think that's a great aesthetic.
Yeah, I really do.
Instead of the other thing where, you know, it's all about some kind of ego shit. Look, when you get this album done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Absolutely.
Ah, beautiful. So the invite's out, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Please keep on keeping on. We need more of the freak flag flying, in my opinion. I just love it, man. It inspires me. I do it. You know what I do? I pretend to do when he sends me the file of the. I pretend he's in the room and like I'm jamming. I just did this Spirit of Hamlet record. Anyway, I'm inspired by people like you, so please keep on. Pivo, April 19, 2023, Dishawa Peter shall keep you powder dry.